Okay, this story is many years ago, about 530-some B.C., so about 2,500 years ago, and nothing has changed. Nothing is new under the sun. And basically, Ezra shows the opposition that a person would have when you're trying to do a work for the Lord. In this context, they're trying to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And so we're going to see the opposition that they face. And a lot of times when a person faces opposition, you got to try to figure it out. Is it the devil trying to slow us down, or is it God trying to test us? And if you get that figured out, let me know that I can preach about it. So a lot of times you can't tell it apart. So Ezra chapter 4, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. I do pray that you'd help us to see some practical things we can get out of these things for everyday living. And also help us to understand a lot of times the opposition that we face, that the opposition is actually telling us that what we're doing is right. As Paul said, when you face the opposition, you must be doing something right. And I pray you'd help us to understand this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in the storyline, if you go back to the beginning of Ezra, there was a king named Cyrus, king of Persia. And he declared a decree that the Jews were to go back to Palestine and rebuild the temple. Okay, that was in a monarchy. So in a monarchy, the highest human law in the land is the king or queen. Okay, we don't live in a monarchy. And a lot of Americans do not understand as far as the highest human law in our country is not the president. It's not the governor. The highest human law in our country is individually you and I, the sovereign citizen, sovereign individual, the man living on the land. That's the highest law, okay? But a lot of times people don't understand that. Okay, and so in our culture, you got to kind of think a little bit differently. But in the Jewish culture, remember, they were subjects under Media Persia. So they fortunately had a king that was favorable to them. And this highest law, one at the tippy top, said, go back and rebuild the temple. And then the lower ones are going to be the ones fussing. Okay, that's going to who's going to do the trouble here. Ezra chapter 4, verse 1 is now where we're at. It says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded a temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Okay, so we're dealing with the adversaries, the enemies, the ones who are opposing. Notice what their first method will be. They have two methods. Okay, and the first method is always what we call an alliance, where they're trying to act like they're going along with you. Verse 2, then they came to Zerubbabel. Okay, that's the fella that's more or less in charge. And to the chief of the fathers, and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God. Liars. Okay, as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esar Haddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. Okay, these people are lying. They're counterfeits. And the counterfeits is the one that's tricking the church today. Okay, the counterfeits are the ones who act like sheep, walk like sheep, and everything. But once you challenge them, their fangs will come out and you'll discover, hey, that's a wolf, that's not a sheep. Okay, and if you go into Christian bookstores and you find the new versions, that's an alliance. Okay, where they're trying to come in looking like a Bible believer when they're truly not. And if you challenge these folks with the NIV are pushing it, New American Standard, New King Jimmy. If you expose their lies and their hypocrisy and their counterfeiting, then you'll see their fangs come out. Okay, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay, that's what's going to happen. The Catholic Church throughout history, when they are in the minority, they always try to be an alliance, want everybody to be tolerant. When they get in the majority, then their real nature comes out. Okay, the same with the Muslim faith. Same thing. When they're in the majority, okay, they want tolerance. They want you to say that we're all the same and all that stuff. But when they get in the majority, then the knives come out and they start getting rid of anybody that disagrees with them. Okay, so that's the first step that they're going to do, is they're going to have an alliance or a counterfeiting. A lot of people don't realize that Israel today is loaded with counterfeit Jews. Revelation talks about it. Some say they're Jews and they're not. Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. And so a person's got to kind of distinguish it. Use some discernment, recognize these things, okay? And what God is saying, you let the wheat and the tares grow up together, and then in a harvest, and he's going to do the separating. But you and I would need to use some discretion. So in verse 2, these people are claiming that they have the same motives, that they want to help them, and Zerubbabel, verse 3, is saying, no, these guys are not for us. So how do we handle this? How do we handle this? Verse 3, Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Okay, so they said, no, we don't need your help. We don't want you. You don't have the same desires that we have. And so we're just going to go ahead and build ourselves anyway. And he said, besides, the king said we can. Okay, so we have the highest authority behind us. We don't need you. And just get out of here. Okay, verse 4. Well, that doesn't usually stop the flies from trying to land on you. That doesn't stop the mosquitoes from trying to suck your blood out. Okay, I don't care what you do. You know, you could do all you can, but they're going to keep coming back until you get the fly swatter out and whack them. Okay, verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. Okay, so it didn't work at the top. So now they're going to go to the ones lower, the people. Not the leadership, but the people. And this is often how you split a family. Okay, it doesn't work for dad. So Satan did not tempt Adam first. He tempted Eve first. She was deceived, and then Adam loved her enough to die for her. Okay, and the same goes when you got children, is they'll go after the children to try to mess up the family. And a person needs to recognize who the real enemy is. Not flesh and blood, not people. Okay, and so we need to recognize that. For example, in our culture, the two biggest promoters of racial tension will be government policy and the news industry. And what they're doing is they're trying to get people fussing about the color of their skin and quotas and everything. And just like a teacher in school just taught recently, all white people are racist. Okay? Are they going to get reprimanded? No, nothing's going to be said to them. I mean, it's just going to go forward. That's what they're going to teach. Okay? And so we recognize that the communist agenda is to divide us and conquer us. If people would recognize that the real enemy between the races will be government policy in the news media, and we direct our opposition or stand against them, then we might see what they're trying to do is divide us to conquer us. That's what they're doing. But people don't see the big picture. Okay, and so in verse 4, what they're going to do is they're going to divide the people from the leadership. In verse 5, It says, and hired counselors against them. Okay, they're counselors, they're guide. Now, counselor is technically, and what, you know, I hate to say it, but what we're going to read is a lot of legal terms. Okay, a counselor, okay, is another word for attorney. Okay, an attorney or lawyer is usually referred to as counsel. And if you really want to read something that's very interesting, read the original 13th article to the Bill of Rights. Okay, I have a copy of it. It's not the one after the Civil War. This one was published around 1850s, but just vanished out of thin air somehow. And the 13th article was an article against attorneys. The people of that day wanted to boot all attorneys out. Why? Because they make money with words. But somehow that article, which was passed, mysteriously just disappeared from the textbooks, disappeared from society, and then they made another 13th Amendment in the 1865. It's amazing how that just faded away. Okay, and so if you see who usually gets in political office are attorneys. And what are they doing to our country? They're messing it up. Okay, so we have counselors against them. Hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So you got somebody below the king who is causing an insurrection against an order of the king. And it's going after the Jews. Okay, verse 6, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, an accusation. Anybody can make those up. But why is it in our culture, if somebody accuses somebody, boom, they're guilty? No, an accusation is just an opinion from somebody. Okay, a person needs to investigate, okay, on how to do this. Okay, all these accusations. Okay, in our culture, we're not to believe these things, okay, until we can further totally investigate everything involved. Okay, but these guys know, in verse 6, they know that if they keep bringing this up, it will cause doubts in people's minds. Okay, in verse 7, in the days of Artaxerxes, wrote Bishlam and Mithredath and Tabel and the rest of their companions. So there's the names of the guys involved. Unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Okay, so we got a little something just stuck right in here. Anybody that knows the issues about the Bible, okay, so, quote, originally, this letter was written in the Syrian tongue. But we are told that the original autographs in the Old Testament are written in which language? Okay, in the Old Testament, Hebrew. Okay, and so this letter that we're reading in English originally was Syrian, translated to Hebrew. Now, when it was translated to Hebrew, I wonder if our beloved scholars are going to say that it was inspired. They're going to have to say so. And then our beloved scholars, it just blows over their head. Wow, that's an inspired translation. Isn't that wonderful? So when you write Moody Bible or any of these schools, they'll say, there are no translations that are inspired. Well, just show them that verse and let them think on that. Okay, yes, a translation can be inspired of God. And we have one right here. This is one in Ezra chapter 4, verse 7. Okay, and this is a legal document, verse 8. It says, Rehum the chancellor and Shimshiah the scribe wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes the king in this sort. So if you look at the United Nations policy will be strictly against Israel. Nothing has changed, right? Okay, and so verse 9, there's the guys that write it. Forget about pronouncing their names. Verse 10, the rest of the nations whom the great and noble, Asnapar, brought over and set in the cities of Samaria and the rest that were on this side of the river at such a time. So, verse 10, you have a coalition of nations that's going against Jerusalem. A bunch of them getting together. These are all Arab cultures. Okay, and then here's the letter, verse 11. This is a copy of the letter. Okay, so originally Syrian, then Hebrew. Now we're going to read it in English. This is a copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king, thy servants, the men on this side of the river, and at such a time. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Ooh, that's terrible. Okay, be it known unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and customs, so thou shalt endanger the revenue of the king. Okay, so of the king. So what are they using to influence this parasite of the community? The king, and that's what a king is. Okay, in this context, as the Queen of England, she is nothing more than a parasite. As Prince William and Prince Charles and all those parasites, they are parasites. Probably the richest individual on the planet is Queen Elizabeth. And she's a parasite off of the people. Okay, and if it wasn't for the people, productive people, being forced to give of their time and talents to her, she wouldn't know how to live. Okay, and this, what they're doing is they are using the money idea to influence the king. Now, on the fleshly level, okay, as far as human governing authorities go, on the fleshly level, money is a motivation. On the spiritual level, control is a motivation. Those are the two separate things. Okay, where control, when you challenge their authority, that's what sets them off, is because they can control people. And you can see when you challenge their control, then you will see them act like a two-year-old temper tantrum. Somebody totally dignified until they feel that you are challenging their control, and then they're going to go ballistic. Okay? And, you know, if you want to experience some of these, see it firsthand, I could give you some advice how to discover it. And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take much. Okay? And so this is why it says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, so on the fleshly level, that's what they're looking at, the monetary thing. They're using the monetary idea to influence the king. You'll notice it says toll, tribute, custom. Different words, and then a tax will be used later on. Okay, a toll, pay tolls on highways. A traffic ticket, that's another form of a tax. Okay, that's just getting revenue from people when nobody's been harmed. Okay, that's a toll. That's a tribute. A tribute is what a subject pays. It's either pay the tribute or lose your life. So, okay, we'll choose the lesser of two evils. Okay, so that's the idea here. Verse 13, so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the king. Okay, so this is what they do all the time. Okay, politicians will beg for money for their campaign. They will get paid for doing nothing, absolutely nothing productive. and then they will beg for more money for their campaign, and then they will get back in office, and they will do absolutely nothing that's productive for the people. Nothing. Not a thing that's productive for the people. And then they live out their lives, you know, being parasites off the people. And that's how it is. And the only one that's going to fix it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's going to fix it. I'd rather be the victim than the accomplice. Okay? And as victims of this, we have to put up with this for many years while we're down here. But if you're faithful to the Lord, we get to help the Lord rule for 1,000 years. So, that's a pretty good trade. That's a pretty good trade. So we'll take that trade, and that's no problem there. Okay, we can see in verse 13 what their motive is. Verse 14, now because we have maintenance from the king's palace. Okay, so they have maintenance from the king's palace, so that's called a subsidy. Now they call them entitlements. This is why they want the king, is because they're getting a financial gain out of him. Okay, now, the average person, they would not want to go knock on somebody's door and demand money from that person, some of their property, to get something that they want, but they'll send a government agent to go do the same thing. You see, and then somehow it just washes from their mind that somebody has been forced against their will to give up property, and I got it. It's wonderful. You know, if I did that in real life, I'd be in jail for being a thief. Okay, that's what's called legal plunder. Okay, so that's verse 14. But we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor. Oh, what a bunch of piety. Therefore have we sent and certified the king. Certified mail. That's where that term comes from. Certified document. Okay, that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. Okay, yeah, that's true, but they moved against what kings? The kings of Judah. Not the Babylonian king, not the kings of Cyrus, or else Cyrus would not have ordered this decree. So you just go back in history and find some bad things that people do, okay, and you can find some good things that they do. So they move with sedition. Of course, that's what Barabbas was released from. Okay, and then verse 16, we certify the king that, and there's that term again, certified, that if this city be built again and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side the river. Again, what they're saying is you're going to have no control. Okay, if you have no control, then you can't get the money out of them. So again, from the fleshly side, money's the issue. From the spiritual side, or the psyche side, is control is the issue. That's the issue, and nothing's going to change that. That's how it always is. And when you challenge their control, then they're going to be upset. Okay? And I'm not saying you just automatically challenge somebody's control. Okay? It's just that you can be polite and kind when need to be done. Okay, it's like in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, or Lancaster County, one of the neighbors of Roy, Jen's brother, Amish farmer, he had some cattle, and county agent wanted to go investigate something on his back property. Of course, he had no right to go back there, but he wanted to go back there to look at some drainage or something like that. And so he tried to convince the farmer that he had the authority because he had a badge. Well, if a badge is what gets you the authority, just get online. You can get yourself a badge. Doesn't mean anything. Okay, I've got a bounty hunter badge. Okay, and so the Amish farmer, he really didn't want him to go back there. But then he gave in. And he said, okay, go ahead, go back there. And as the guy got over the fence, started walking toward the back, he said, oh, before you go any further, I just want to let you know that I get a bull back there. But you could show him your badge when you see him. And, of course, the guy had a change of heart. Okay, so his badge really didn't help him out that much. Okay, but just because somebody has a badge or a uniform doesn't mean they have the authority. And even if they have that badge and uniform, when they step outside of their oath that they've promised to uphold, what they have done is mysteriously they have stepped into the private world and they're acting as a private individual. When they step outside of that oath of office, okay, and of course a lot of them do it unbeknownst to them, and so that individual can be sued in their private capacity and in their public capacity because they're acting as two separate legal entities. And so a person can, I would say, okay, here's an individual, they have a certain mindset, and if we are out passing out tracts or street preaching or whatnot, well, here's a prospect that we can witness to also. They may think they have the authority. We can comply or not comply, however the situation works, however the Lord leads. Okay, but remember that we are to act as a believer should act according to the Bible, because this guy's soul is important. His soul is more important than my rights. Okay, and so, but still, we could work with this individual and use the opportunity to try to educate them a little further. Okay, I have a track. It's a track that says, are you a public servant or a public menace? Now, just the title of that track, when you hand it to a certain public official, their eyeballs go, wee. And when they read through it, they discover most of them are public menaces. Why? Because they have stepped outside of what they promised they would do. And the Bible here holds them responsible for lying to God Almighty because they broke that promise. And boy, God is going to hold that accountable. Okay, and so, hey, it's on their head, it's not on ours. But what's on our part is that we want to be a good testimony and keep the door open that we might witness, use our liberties, whatnot, what we can to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Okay, so verse 16, that issue is control. Verse 13, that issue is money. Okay, so you have two separate issues, and a person needs to basically understand that idea. Okay, verse 17, then sent the king an answer. Okay, an answer, that's, again, a legal thing. Unto Rehum the chancellor, and to Shimshah the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace at such a time. The letter which he sent unto us hath been plainly read before me. And I commanded, and searched, and it hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against king. Yeah, that's right, you're going to find that. And that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll and tribute and custom was paid unto them. Okay, there have been mighty kings ruled over Jerusalem. That would have been Solomon, David. Okay, not King Saul per se totally, but specifically David and Solomon. And so the idea here is that, okay, they have rebelled against kings, and they do, and they have had kings in their history that got tolls and taxes from other countries, so therefore, they should allow me that right. Okay, here's an example of hypocrisy. Okay, Trump said last night that he would not accept the election results, and oh, they've just gone ballistic. Okay, and what did he mean by that? Well, I'm going to reserve my right to challenge it if I think some cheating's taking place. Okay, well, You mean cheating could take place? Well, didn't Al Gore think that? Now, when Al Gore challenged it and didn't accept the results, what was the media? They were for him. Now, why is it that this guy they don't like? See, that's the hypocrisy. He just reserves the right to challenge it. And he should reserve that right, as anybody should reserve that right. You have that right to challenge it. And that's what Al Gore did. And the Supreme Court even helped Al Gore all he could, but still couldn't get it accomplished. But yet, he was a hero for doing it, but this guy is challenging the whole democratic process. What I'm pointing out is not that I'm for or against either party here, but what I'm pointing out is the hypocrisy of the media. Absolute, total hypocrisy. And actually, the more hypocrisy that people see of that, it goes against their desires. Because people see that. They see the hypocrisy. And that's good. We're thinking. We got to think about these things. So this king is saying, okay, they've done it in the past, so I should have the right to do it. So here's what he does. Verse 21. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Okay, that is a legal term called cease and desist. Okay, or desist and cease. Okay, so stop. Okay, just stop. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay, and he doesn't have the authority to do this. Why? What's the authority say? King Cyrus, the highest authority, ruled, and the laws of the Medes and Persians cannot be changed and altered. He said, build a city. Now this guy, what do we got? We got a conflict here. Which one's right? You go to the highest one, and the supreme one overrules the lower one. He could say this all he wants. Okay? When I built my log house, got red tagged by the county. They told me to stop. But you see, they have no right to tell me to stop because I wasn't harming anybody. My law is higher than their law. So I ignored them and kept building. And until I decided to get done with it. Well, who did you ask to do that? Did you get a permit? Yeah, I permitted myself. That's your authority. That's the power, the authority you have as an individual. Well, didn't you ask somebody? Maybe my wife. But it was probably more my idea than hers. Okay? But you see, we just don't understand. And then when I decide, okay, let's see if money is the issue here, and go in and before we move in, because you know, some counties have been so ruthless that they've taken a bulldozer after they got done and just pushed it down. Okay, and so I went and talked to a lady, and I first thing I said, what are you doing here? I said, you know, I thought we had freedom in our country. You know? And then the lady said, you about ready to move in? I said, yeah. Now, I thought she told me 6 months ago to stop. She should have put an order in the court to arrest me. Contempt of court. That's what they should have been doing. But they didn't have the authority. Okay, and, you know, not that I want to go to jail. I would have got free room and board, but I didn't want to like the company. Okay, but still, and when it got time, you know, I paid her a fee that she wanted, and she came to the house and inspected, and I looked at her and I said, you know, this is nothing personal with you. I still believe I have the right to do what I did. And she believes that too, but she won't want to confess that to me. Okay, fortunately, control wasn't a big, big issue with her. Because she could have pushed the strings on it. Okay, but that money thing, that kind of satisfied. Okay, but this is something that everybody's got to deal with. Okay, and then you and I you got to be knowledgeable of what you should or shouldn't do. And then you got to recognize there are potential consequences. Okay, if you're going to challenge a police officer, there's a consequence that he could tase you. I wouldn't say go that far. He could arrest you. I wouldn't say go that far. Okay, but I mean, however it goes, just follow the leading of the Lord and not your pride. Pride is the issue a lot of times. Okay? We got to be like Daniel. How did Daniel handle these things? Remember when he got that bad order from Melzar? He humbled himself. He appealed to Melzar. And then, praise the Lord, God intervened and he became a friend of Melzar, where Melzar did what he could to help him. Okay? And so, so far, that's what we're seeing here in Ezra 4. So, in verse 21, we have a cease and desist order. Verse 22, he says, take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the king? And there ain't going to be no damage to the king. He just may not get as much as he thinks he should be getting. And then verse 23, now when the copy of the king's Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshah the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them cease by force and power. I got a piece of paper. I got me a piece of paper and I'm telling you to stop. Well, what is that? That's the king's writings. Oh, really? Writings can stop me from doing something? Or is it your gun that's going to stop me, or the soldiers that you brought with you? Yeah, just a piece of paper. Just words on a piece of paper. Okay, but there it is. There's the thing, force. Okay, and so when we are forced to do something against our will under the fear, threat, or duress, you say it publicly, you verbalize it to the person, you say, I object to your behavior. Okay, and I'm not saying stop, I'm just saying in the process of them forcing, you're objecting verbally so they hear it over and over and over. Object everything they do, say, have you do, force you to do, okay, be making sure that they know that they are going against your will. That's what holds them accountable. And it frees us from volunteering. Okay? And so it's a legal thing, but yet it's something that what we're doing is we're transferring, spiritually, we're transferring guilt to that party. And they're going to be held accountable for it. And that's very important. Because if you just voluntarily do something, it eases their conscience. We don't want their conscience eased. We want them to know what they've done is illegal and we're objecting to it. And we're objecting verbally. Not going to punch them out. Not going to shoot them. I'm verbally objecting in the whole process all the way through so that they know don't like what they're doing. And then that guilt on the record of God's records is placed on their account. Okay, so that's 23. 24, unfortunately, then ceased the work of the house of God. They stopped working, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Okay, so now everything stopped. Building stopped. In chapter 5, you have two prophets that step in. Haggai and Zechariah. It's the two of the last three books in the Bible. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And these two knew the highest law, and they preached at the people to get them back to what they're supposed to be doing. And that's what these guys did. Okay, so that's chapter 5. We'll go into that next time. Any questions or comments? What we covered?